So we enter into the second Sunday of Advent, and we see our three kings, our three magi, are moving along, heading towards this side over here, where the creche scene will be before too long, but for now they can't see it. And we know from the story in Scripture that there were times during their travels they couldn't see the star, and that after their meeting with Herod, they saw it again and rejoiced. And so they're traveling not only by sight, but by faith. And so must we during our Advent journey towards Christmas. And we just lit another candle in the wreath. We're coming upon our halfway mark here pretty soon. And many of you are decorating your homes. I can remember that we always started decorating our house, at least in a small way, right around these days. We didn't put up the tree to about the 20th or so. But decorating some things at this time, because today is the feast day of St. Nicholas. And so we usually put a few things out to celebrate St. Nicholas Day. And many of us forget the story of the true Santa Claus, of St. Nicholas. But he was the Bishop of Smyrna in Turkey, was Greece back then. And he was very popular. He was a man of renowned sanctity, great dedication and love for his people, often traveled around to the different towns in his diocese visiting the folks. And on one of these travels, he came into a roadside inn where the innkeeper had just murdered a young man in the kitchen. And somehow he knew that, went into the kitchen and raised the young man from the dead. And of course the innkeeper was very repentant of what he had done. There was another time in the main city where back in that day, if you were deep in debt, well, you sold everything you had to try to pay your way out. Then if that didn't work, you began to give over members of your family into slavery. And so there was a man who was going to have to deliver his three daughters into slavery. And miraculously, on the hearth of the fireplace, that morning appeared three bags of gold coins to pay off his debt. And they were unsure how it was that St. Nicholas got into the house. Some say it might have been through the chimney. And then he was a great defender of the true teaching of the church, the true teaching of the apostles, the doctrine and orthodoxy of the church. And so when the emperor of Constantinople became a heretic and supported the Gnostic heresy, Nicholas spoke out bravely against him, warning his flock of the dangers of the heretical and false ideas, bringing them to the truth. And because of that, the emperor had him exiled, and some say as far away as maybe the North Pole. And the miracle that happened was, even when he was gone, presents still arrived for the poor, the needy, and they had no idea how they were getting there. And so this is the true story of St. Nicholas. And we, like I said, we're decorating our homes, and we're putting all these nice things out and making our homes beautiful, setting up our tree, Christmas tree, and so on. And this is actually sacramental. Not a sacrament, but sacramental. In the sense that we're doing something on the outside, something visible, that should represent an internal reality for each one of us. That as we beautify our homes, we should be beautifying our interior as well through our Advent journey. And that's what our readings go around today. And so we know in a sacrament, we always have an external sign, like the water of baptism or the oils of confirmation. And that is the sign, external sign for an invisible internal reality, the sanctifying grace of God that comes down and transforms. And so the decorating of our homes should be that external sign of that interior reality of our renewal, our refreshing, and our preparation for the coming of Christ in our hearts this Christmas. And so we see in the first reading this prophecy of Baruch, which, like many of the readings in the scripture, are like an onion. And the outer layer, the first layer that we come into contact with, is a prophecy that the Jews will be taken into exile. And that happened not too long after he made this prophecy. They were defeated and led off to Babylon, to the Babylonian captivity. Then he says they will come back in glory. Well, yeah, it wasn't just that they escaped, or they had a little rebellion and were able to escape from Babylon, but the Babylonians were defeated by King Cyrus of Persia. And then he not only let them go back home, he helped pay for the rebuilding of their temple. And so in a certain way, they came back in glory, with a certain level of victory. And then if we take that onion down one more layer, it talks about each one of us. It says in the reading that they were led away on foot, a very earthly way, a very, very slow way, a very subtle way. And so it is with us. We're often led away from God by little earthly things, little temptations, bad habits that get increasingly worse as we go along, or little things like a dispute over inheritance, or a long dispute argument with my spouse that we just never fix, and it just gets deeper and deeper as time goes on. And these things lead us away from God. But they're very worldly and they're very small, but yet they get in the way of our relationship with God. And so God calls us back in this time of Advent. And he calls us back to his love, to his mercy, to his grace. He calls us back to be his children. He calls us back in glory. And then in the second reading, St. Paul encourages the Philippians to be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. And that's what we must do. We want to be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. When the 25th rolls around, we want to have our hearts cleaned, our relationships strengthened with the Lord, and ready to welcome the new birth of the Christ child in our hearts. Have in our interior all cleaned up and ready for him to be born there again. And then the gospel tells us that we must repent of our sins if we are to achieve forgiveness. So, you know, sometimes we can get mechanical. And we can just say, well, I go to confession, I say my sins, Father gives me absolution, done deal. Well, yes, the sacrament is effective if I do everything and you do everything correctly. It's effective. But it's all the more effective. It's all the more deep and all the more transforming when I have true repentance for my sins. That's when the sanctifying grace of God's forgiveness and his healing graces can truly penetrate and make a huge difference in my life. And so in the Gospel, St. John the Baptist tells us, prepare the way of the Lord. So I need to prepare God's way in my heart. Clear out all the obstacles to his grace and to his love in my life. And that's what we do during Advent. We're preparing a gift for the Lord Jesus. We're trying to overcome bad habits. We're trying to increase, intensify our relationship with him, adding in some prayers and some meditation and things like that. And then he says, make straight his paths. Well, what is crooked in me? What is obstaculizing the flow of God's grace in my life? And then we need to get that out of there and make it straight again. And so this year, Pope Francis has declared a year of mercy, which we will begin, officially begins on the 13th of December. But the bishop has asked us to just go ahead and start during Advent here. And so we have this year of mercy. And one of the things that we're going to do in the diocese for the year of mercy is that every parish, as a resident priest, is going to have a special 2-hour session for confession every Tuesday night during Advent and Lent. And because that time works fairly well for my schedule, I'll just keep that throughout the year. The bishop has allowed us to, each parish, to adjust during the other times of the year, the 2 hours that will be available, but we'll just keep it on Tuesdays. And so we participate then in this year of mercy that Pope Francis is calling us to repent, to come back to the Lord, to make straight his paths. And so we seek to do that, increase our relationship with the Lord, take advantage of the wonderful graces of conversion and renewal in this season of Advent, and truly seek to grow closer to the Lord and prepare our hearts for his coming. He wants to be reborn again in our hearts this Christmas. And we need to prepare a place. When he came as a human being, he had to be born in a dirty stable. We don't need to subject him to a dirty heart this Christmas.